In Randall County and for miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
It's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO, Randall County Radio.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:26. This is Jeff, and you're listening to The People Speak. Hope you're having a good Friday morning. Our guest this morning is Congressman Mike Boss. He's joining us this morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm very good. Good Friday to good Friday.
So I imagine keeping busy this time of year?
It is. Yeah, we are back in district until the week after Easter. I say that. I'm in district, and I mean bouncing around all around district. Except for one day I'm off in Chicago dealing with some stuff up there. But we're working, and when we're doing this, we're actually traveling around the district. I've met several places already, and there's a few more scheduled for the infrastructure listening tour, and that has a whole lot to do with getting with the locals, economic development people, municipal elected officials, county elected officials, and talking about the infrastructure needs that we have specifically in the Illinois 12th. As we're looking to move forward, I hope, with an infrastructure bill, even though there's some problems that have come up in the last week where there's, unfortunately, the speaker and her receiving pressure from members on her side of the aisle are wanting to play politics with it instead of sitting down and truly coming to the table with it. And then we're also supposed to talk with a couple schools about the school safety summit, have a school safety summit where, you know, we're encouraging them. We're in the last days of filing to try to get the school safety grants that were available, what we put into legislation last year. This is the second round of those. There will be more rounds coming up, so I want to make sure and get out to our schools and talk to them about that. Of course, we also have an opioid roundtable dealing with the opioid crisis. So we're up, you know, going to be out throughout the district, even though some pretty wild things are coming out of D.C. right now. You know, the Mueller report showed up was released yesterday. I think it's amazing that, you know, original arguments were that Barr would not release it and that would be extremely redacted. Well, it isn't extremely redacted. It's only redacted at exactly what the and here's what's really wild is, and that's what people don't understand. First off, Barr did not really have to release the report at all. He had to report that it was sent in and that he was overlooking it. He could have stopped with his summary. He did not. He made the decision to go ahead and release it, and he released it with very few redactions. The only redactions that do occur are the ones that that might affect any future cases that are going on and to protect the names of certain people who might be involved in cases that would be, and private individuals who might be involved in other cases, that their names cannot be permitted for the safety of our homeland and the other problems that exist out, you know, concerns that are out there and that are in existing law today. That's the only things that are being redacted. And then, from what we're understanding, for the people that are actually in the committee, a second release will be, and then certain areas that they are able to legally see with their clearance will be able to see those areas. One thing that Barr also did was he color-coded, and so that every redaction, you know which one of the four categories it falls under. He explained everything in great detail. Remember that Rosenstein, who is the second, is always been praised by the Democrat side of the aisle as you know, of course, Hohead Barr. But now they've got to have a boogeyman. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And as we watch this happen, you know, the thing is, they're claiming, oh, it's partisan. It's not partisan. The guy is doing his job exactly as he's supposed to and giving in detail any explanation. Now, you can take from the take, there is, but Mueller did the report. Barr released the report. Everything has been done, and I think it makes certain people upset because they felt like this was the thing that they were going to go directly after the president on. There are some things there that are embarrassing to the president, there's no doubt. And it was felt from the frustration of a really heavy investigation trying to prove something that everybody from news media to the Democrat side of the aisle were bound to determine that there was collusion. After all of this time and all of these studies and all of the ground that was covered, 22 attorneys, millions of dollars spent, there's no collusion. And I think that it's time, I think the American people are ready to move on, and I know that the members of Congress should be ready to move on so that we can start doing and dealing with the real things we need to deal with, border security. Actually start setting down and working to figure out how to cure this problem before it is already in a crisis. But we've got to work as Congress to do what we need to do to secure that border and to deal with the problems that deal with, we are dealing with immigration, and do it very, very quickly for the safety of those who are seeking to come here, as well as the safety of this nation and the safety of the people and the communities where these people might be going into, and where to make sure that those people that are willing to come across legally, and those who come into this nation come in legally, that they stay here legally, and that we do not, we vet any criminals, drug runners, criminals that are convicted of other things, any human trafficking, any of that that's going on, so that we can actually work on those issues. We also need to work on the infrastructure bill that I was talking about. So we've got a lot of things pending out there, and all that is going on while we're back in district trying to deal with the issues back here.
Right. I noticed when you were talking about immigration and that, the one thing I think that some people don't understand is you're not talking about, we don't want anyone here. We just want people that are here legally.
That's correct. That's correct. And let's look at what we really have to deal with. There are people here, DACA, for instance, that are here. They are undocumented or illegal. And the reason they are here and still in the community is because they were carried across by their parents. Now, our laws say that we will educate anyone that's here. So based on that, many of these, though they're young adults or are 30 and under, who have been here, they were taken away from their country. They don't even speak the language, usually, from the country in which they came from originally. So that's an issue that we have to deal with. That being said, we can't start dealing with that issue until first we secure that border so that people enter and exit through controlled areas along the border, and we stop the massive influx that is coming across our borders all along our southern border because it is not a controlled border. And for people to say it's immoral to build a wall or a fence or to have that controlled are the same people that a few years ago said it, under a different administration, said that it wasn't. So the problem is, their problem isn't with doing this. Their problem is doing it so that Trump actually gets done what he is wanting to do as the president. That's a problem. So, yes, we want to make sure that what happens, people come in, that is done legally. We can keep track of people for the safety of our citizens as well as the safety of the people coming in. And we want to make sure that we do that correctly. Now, the problem that exists is the political games that are being played. And if we don't, and you know, almost every member of Congress has been down along that border to see what's going on, to see the problems that exist, to see not only what they face at the border, but how it affects us even here in southern Illinois and in the way that the immigration is being handled. So we do need to sit down. It needs to be done in a bipartisan manner. I have already voted twice for full funding of the control of the border. Now, remember, that doesn't just include the barrier. It also includes technology that monitors. It includes an increase in the amount of staffing of people who are on patrol along the border. All of the things that are necessary to provide that security that we need terribly and that we should have had years and years ago.
All right, Congressman, let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll come back and talk some more. We are talking today with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak, and we will be right back. And welcome back. It is 9:42. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. We're talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, and we've been talking about border security and such. Congressman, you also mentioned earlier about the school safety grants and that. Can you a little bit more about what those grants are, what they provide for the schools?
Yeah. Here's what we did. Last year, after the shooting that occurred there in Florida, there were about 7 or 8 different school safety bills that were out there. One of them was one that I was sponsoring, which is allows for money to be distributed based on a grant-type basis to our schools. And it's unique to the schools, okay? And then when I say that, even though the school itself does not apply for the grant, because it comes through the Department of Justice, it must be applied for by the county police, or by the sheriff's department, and or a municipal police department with advice from the schools. And it can be for everything from newer secure lock systems, newer secure systems as far as entering the school. It can be, for instance, one of our schools in the Deep South in Golconda area. One of the grants that they received was Lick Creek. Basically, the difference of not just securing the school, but they were in a location where there was no cell tower close enough that they could actually make emergency phone calls. The teachers couldn't use a cell phone to make emergency phone calls. So the grant that they received actually put in the cell tower that allowed for the communications necessary to communicate with the local emergency services. It also can be for the safety buttons. Those were the original thing that I was pushing for. That would be a button similar to the seniors have the buttons on them, and as soon as they punch it, emergency service personnel are notified. That same button type thing can be put in our classrooms, so if an emergency happens, not only a shooting or something like that, it could be an emergency where a child goes down with a seizure or something like that would occur, so that they can have instant communication with the emergency service personnel to get them dispatched. So there are multiple things that can be used for. This is getting out, getting the information to our local schools so that they know when these grants applications can be started to work on, so that superintendents and principals can work with local law enforcement to go ahead and put those grants together and apply to the Department of Justice.
All right, great. That sounds like something that will really benefit the schools and a lot of things. I mean, we just heard Columbine in the news again here recently.
Oh, yeah.
So
there are those copycats out there. There are still people who are terrorists that will try to do these type things. We know that we're also dealing with mental health. That was part of that bill as well. It's a case where we're trying to get an all-in strategy to make our schools safe.
All right, what other kind of issues are kind of in the forefront here?
I'll tell you a couple things that are out there pending right now is something that this goes a little bit techie, okay, and I'm going to try to deal with it and explain to the listeners that just because you put a nice title on something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. If you remember President Obama, through administrative order, put what was known as net neutrality in place, because they claim that that groups will, because of Amazon and are not Netflix and stuff like that, there would be what was known as throttling that was being done by providers, and that was never proved out that that was the case. However, these laws that were put in place actually slowed the growth of internet providers and also of technology, because the systems were once again federal regulations that weren't necessary, and the net neutrality was actually the language that was put in by the former administration was slowing the process down and slowing the growth of technology. So and claiming something, it was really a solution for a problem that was not happening. And so about 20 months ago, with the people that were claiming that it was a good thing, said, no, as soon as you do this, internet speeds will slow down, it'll be this, it'll be that. Actually, what we've seen is that the internet speeds have sped up through much of the country. Expansion of the internet has continued to occur. So unfortunately, the group that answering to those people from that side tried, the House Democrats last week tried to carry the new net neutrality bill, and we told them what we let know was because when we were told that at the end of the of net neutrality, the rules, once it went away, everything would change, everything would get slowed down. It didn't. And so what they did was they passed the bill out of the House last week. I did not vote for it, but it's going over to the Senate. The Senate is not taking it up because like I said, it is a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. And matter of fact, by creating the solution, it scares away the investors that make the investment to expand the internet. You know, these are kind of some of the technical things that are going on that people don't really understand. One thing that has occurred that is worth talking about, I think, is the fact that we passed the 100-day mark of this new Congress, and in that 100 days, we passed very little. And we've passed very little because all that's been put up is resolutions, and the resolutions are dealing with everything that is anti-Trump and not working on those bills that we need to be working on. We could work together in a bipartisan manner to still try to figure out to bring health care costs down, to make sure, and I have supported on many occasions, and I want to make sure that it said that because it was back during the campaign, if you remember, it said that I didn't, working to make sure that pre-existing conditions are covered, working to make sure that we bring down drug costs, working to make sure that health care becomes more affordable and we're not trapped under what has occurred under the ACA, where middle-income families do not really have health insurance, they have catastrophic health insurance. These are the type of issues we still got to work on, and we're going to continue to work on.
All right, Congressman, I got one more break and want to slip in here. Let's do that real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. A little over 3 minutes left in the program this morning. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost and going over some of the topics that are in the news and in the House and such going on. Another area is the Violence Against Women Act. And, Congressman, you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, the original Violence Against Women Act, and this is like the third view of it, and basically I was proponent of just simply extending the existing Violence Against Women Act. And as it moved forward, unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi and the Dems, boy, I get tired of saying that, but the reality is they put extra things in there knowing that it would try to put people in a box that wouldn't vote for it, knowing it would not go anywhere in the Senate. I was one of 33 Republicans that even voted for it, even with and it was a lot of really things that were not necessary in there that really didn't help women. It helped attorneys. It helped for lawsuits. It helped for many things that the trial lawyers would love. But I didn't feel like that we were willing to let the bill fall and at least try to move this on. So I voted for it. I was one of 33 Republicans that voted for it. Now, it's not going anywhere in the Senate, so we're still going to have to take up the original language, and I believe it will. It'd be the original language that will come back, and I will vote for that as well. You know, to use the Violence Against Women's Act as a ploy to play politics is really some of the problems that we see going on in Washington right now. It's a whole lot of what we've seen in Illinois for a long time of the gotcha that they try to put out there that, oh, you if you put a good title on something and you vote against it, then your constituents or during a campaign, somebody will come up and say, well, you voted against women. No, I didn't. I got a wife. I have two daughters and seven granddaughters. And believe me, I want to make sure that they're protected above all else. But at any rate, so that bill is gone out of the House, over to the Senate, but will not be taken up in the Senate. I think the Senate will send back the original Violence Against Women Act, which is a very good and appropriate way to deal with the issues. So as we're moving on, these are the type of things you're going to see happening. But that being said, I know we're running short of time. And, Jeff, I want to thank you, and I want to thank the listeners for listening in today. I really thank them for the opportunity to serve them in D.C. It's a busy job. But it is a job where know that I'm working to try to protect Southern Illinois, and I appreciate their friendship and support, and we'll be around the district this next week, and then on into the week after that, we will be back in D.C. Dealing with the issues as they come up.
And I know you always like to solicit questions or concerns from constituents as well, and they can contact your office.
They can. My Carbondale office is 457-5787. I don't have the office in O'Fallon in front of me, but if you look up on the Internet, it's right there. The D.C. office as well, if you want to reach out there, it's that number. And also, remember this, if you are coming to D.C. and you'd like us to set you up some tours, this is the same number you can reach us at, 202-225-5661. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve.
And
everybody have a happy Easter.
And you too, Congressman. And we'll talk to you again next month.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. For the People Speak, I am Jeff. We will talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.